Take your Bible, if you would, find Galatians chapter 2 this morning. Galatians chapter 2 will be our text today. If you would, you could go ahead also and find Ephesians chapter number 2. We will visit Ephesians chapter number 2 in just a moment. Galatians, I'll just set my Ephesians right here. I'll get it in a second. The Bible. Galatians chapter 2. Not only for this service, but for many other services, will we find ourselves in Galatians chapter 2. As God has laid this text on my heart to begin a series today that I trust and pray will be a blessing to our lives. I trust and pray that will open our eyes to the wonderful Christ life. Trust that the Christ life is in you. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust through this series that God will create envy in your heart. Pastor, why would you want envy to be created in our hearts? Because that's how God approached the Jews. He wanted to use the Gentiles and the riches of his glory toward them to create envy in the Jews so they would see Jesus. I trust as Jesus is exalted and is revealed in our lives that there would be a desire in your life that Christ would be in you. Our text verse, so precious, so powerful. Find verse number 20, if you would, please. Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth, where, class? In me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This verse finds its lodging in its context in a wonderful position of defense and definition that the Apostle Paul is using to declare a doctrinal truth called justification by grace through faith. Justification, which is a Bible term, it's a biblical term, it's a salvation term, it's a legal term, which states it gives a legal standing. If you've been justified, it's a legal position wherein you have been declared righteous. This is a biblical doctrine. This is one that every believer finds himself in standing with. And this is one that I hope and pray to touch your heart and your mind with. And I want to take this phrase, the life which I now live. And I would ask you to underline that phrase in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. And I want to preach to you a series of messages from that phrase. Apostle Paul is defending in this verse, or with this verse, justification by God's grace through faith. I could substitute the word justification for the word salvation. Paul is reminding the church at Galatia that salvation is by God's grace and through faith and faith alone. I asked you to hold your hand in Galatians and to find Ephesians. Find, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2 for just a moment. Verse number 8. Thank you for turning your pages. Some of you are turning a lot of pages and you should have only turned two or three of them. Let's just address the elephant in the room. Verse number 8. For by what class? Grace. Are ye what class?
Faith.
Through what class?
Faith.
You'll be shocked. 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 At how much misunderstanding there is in that statement. You will be shocked at how many people today do not understand that salvation is by grace through faith alone. You'll be shocked at how many people think that they must somehow add to faith works. Paul is reminding the church of Galatia what needs to be reminded to the people today. Salvation is by faith. Period. For by grace, God's grace, are you saved through faith. It is in that not of yourself. Nobody can save themselves. Nobody can justify themselves. Shocked how many people try to justify themselves before God. Well, I'm not as bad as that guy. Well, I've never done this. Well, my life is cleaner than this. I'm a better person than them. Well, God knows my heart. Let me just say something about God knowing your heart. Never say, God knows my heart. Why? You're stating the obvious. The Bible clearly says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Most times people want to say, well, God knows my heart in defense of them. What you're really saying is you don't know your heart. God knows your heart. We're the ones that don't know our hearts. We're the ones that don't know the motivation or the depth of our hearts. And so people want to say, well, God knows my heart in justification before God. Nobody can justify themselves. Not yourself. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. You cannot earn a gift. If you can earn it, it's a payment. It's a reward. It's a reckoning of the labor. Salvation is not a reckoning of anybody's good works. Salvation is faith in the work of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So nobody's going to be able to get to heaven and say, I'm here because I did this. I'm here because I was this. I'm here because my life is this. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be us that's going to be praised. It'll be Jesus that will be praised. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a way, a truth, and a life. The. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So salvation is by God's grace, grace meaning God making it available to me without any merit just in of himself, but it is reckoned through faith. It's not a works that we do lest we should boast. This is what the Apostle Paul is having to deal with at the church of Galatia. And what he does is he writes a letter to deal with these churches. And when you were to dissect this letter, you could break it down into three parts as the gospel being addressed here. Chapters 1 and 2, the gospel is defended. Write the word defended down somewhere. In chapters 3 and 4, the gospel is defined. Write that down somewhere. And in chapters 5 and 6, the gospel is displayed. So you have defended, defined, and displayed. And really and truthfully, where God has laid on my heart a preaching for a series for the next few weeks is the display of the gospel in the life in which I now live. And it's really a message series on the Christian life, the life that Christ is in, and the outworking or the display of that life as to what it ought to be. But before I can preach to you the display of the gospel, I've got to preach to you the foundation of the defense and the definition of the gospel so you understand what we're talking about here. There was a problem at the church of Galatia. The apostle Paul has won these folks to Christ. He went there, these Roman provinces, he preached the gospel to them. They received the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The apostle Paul preached to them that salvation was by God's grace through faith. They had received that, they had reckoned that, and they were moving forward in that. But during the course of that recognition, some things happened. The church was infiltrated by people called Judaizers. Now, I need you to understand what a Judaizer is, so I want you to hear yourself say it. One, two, three. Judaizer. These were Jews that were religionist at heart, rule-keeping in theory. But these were people that were teaching this. They were teaching that in order for you to be saved, you must not only believe in Jesus, but you also must keep the Mosaic law. Now, when you think about the Mosaic law, you go back to the Old Testament and you think about what? The Ten Commandments. Right? And then all the commandments that were lumped on top of that. So listen to me very carefully, my Roman Catholic friends. They were teaching falsely that it's okay to believe in Jesus, but salvation cannot be that simple. I hear this all the time. And it cannot be that simple that it's just by faith. Also, you must do your part. Well, I got news for you. You don't have any part in salvation outside of belief. All the parts have been done by Jesus. So they came in saying, you can believe, but you've also got to do good things. You've got to keep the law. And they tried to mix faith with works. Listen very carefully. If you mix anything with faith, you pollute faith. The evidence that they wanted them to do, that they were going to keep the law, is they wanted the men to undergo physical circumcision. So what they were saying was, if you were not physically circumcised, you couldn't go to heaven. If you did not keep the law, which means do good works, you could not be saved. You had to do all of that and believe on Jesus. You would be shocked how many people are seated out there, and they're out there and they believe Jesus, but they're doing the best they can so that they can merit eternal life. And it's fact that they got faith, but they're also hoping that their good deeds will get them into heaven. And they're combining the two. You're polluting faith. Salvation is by faith alone. Our people don't understand this. Our people don't understand this. And I say our people living today. So Paul's writing to the church at Galatia here because these false teachers have got in and they've mixed this message. And eventually, false teaching does what all false teaching does. It began to take effect. It began to find lodging in their mind in these believers. So much so, let me show you chapter 5, verse number 7. Now walk with me, please. Very biblical message. Very clear message. You have to read it for yourself. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth. So the Apostle Paul says, now in the beginning, you were obeying the truth. The truth being the gospel is to believe by faith for salvation. Somebody has come in and hindered you. Somebody's taught you differently. Somebody has preached to you something, and now you're not obeying the truth. So they had a good start, but right now they were going backwards, not forward when it came for the gospel. Look, if you would, at chapter number 4, in verse number 9, in verse number 10, you'll see the turn they were making. But now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days, months, times, and years. Nothing wrong with celebrating days, times, months, and years. Nothing wrong with celebrating Passover, nothing wrong with celebrating Christmas, nothing wrong with celebrating Easter, nothing wrong with celebrating those things, unless you are doing it for faith, for salvation. My Seventh Day Adventist friends, you teach Seventh Day Adventism, they teach that we're all going to hell because we worship on Sunday. That's what they believe. That's why they worship on Saturday. That's why you'll never get a Seventh-day Adventist to go to church on Sunday, because they think we go to hell. They think worshiping on Saturday brings to them eternal life. Paul said to the church at Galatia, you're observing days, times, and months, and it's not that you're just celebrating that. You're doing it so you can be saved. Anything that you do for works so that you can be saved is against faith. It's against faith. Watch how powerful Paul addresses this. Go to chapter number 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from who? Him. Who's the him? Jesus. That hath called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Damned. Put in hell. Wow. That's what Paul said. Paul said, now I marvel that you're so soon removed. You're listening to another gospel which mixes faith with works. By the way, it's not another gospel. It's a perversion of the true gospel, because the true gospel is by faith. So whoever's teaching you that, let them be damned and put in hell. Wow. Verse number 9, chapter 1. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be damned, put in hell, accursed. I think Paul's pretty serious. Right? So Paul's coming after this mentality. Why? Because he has a concern for these people. Go to chapter 4. Look, if you would, at verse number 11. I am afraid of you. Now, he's not meaning that he's afraid of them like they're intimidating. Lest I have bestowed upon you labor, how, class? In vain. In vain. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 17. chapter 4. They zealously affect you. They being people that are telling them that salvation's not by faith, it's also by keeping the law or good deeds. But not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. It is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, how? Again. Oh boy. I remember when Beverly was having her babies. That was not the time for me to bring up the next one. For you men that haven't been there, take some counsel. Shut your mouth. I travail in birth again. Watch what he says. Until Christ be formed where? What are you talking about? Verse number 20. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Wow. Here's what Paul says. Paul says, I understand the Judaizers have shown up. I understand that they're telling you that salvation is not just by faith, but you have to keep the law. I understand that some of you are going back to trusting the law. He says, I'm terrified for you. He goes on to say, I'm not sure you're saved. Look, if you would, please, at chapter 5, verse number 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. So what is he saying? If you're going to put your faith in your good works, if you're going to put your trust in what you can do in keeping of the law and somehow your self-righteousness, then what he did on that cross has no effect in your life. But I believe when you pollute faith with works, you've polluted it. Watch this. Christ has become, for I testify, verse number 3, again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So Paul says, okay, fellas, let me explain something to you. They're telling you that you've got to keep the law, the Mosaic law, all 10 of them. Well, what if you keep 9 of them or 8 of them? You're keeping a few of them, but nobody can keep the whole law. If you're going to find righteousness by keeping the law, then you can never break one point of the law. How many liars have I in the room? You've ever lied? Okay, we could go on. So he says, if you're going to be allegiant to the law, then you've got to keep the whole law. This is why you'll never get to heaven by your works, because we're imperfect and sinful in our works. He goes on in verse number 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. Ye are, what's the word? Fallen from grace. Now listen to what he's saying here. Here's what he's not saying. He's not saying that you were saved and then you were unsaved. That is biblically impossible. You cannot have the Holy Spirit of God move into you and then through some sin or something that you've done, the Holy Spirit of God move out of you. When the Holy Spirit of God indwells a man, he's in the man for all eternity. However, After I'm saved, there's evidence of my salvation. Let me put it this way to you. I still trust the Lord to be saved today the same I did when I was 5 years old. So does everybody born again, right? We're still trusting the Lord today. So if there comes a time in your life, like Paul is saying, where we get to the point where I'm no longer just believing by faith, I'm also adding works, or I'm also adding Hinduism or Buddhism or something else, then your ability to reason, to mix that, is evidence that you were never saved in the first place. So sometimes it takes a while to know if somebody's truly saved. That's why you don't lay hands on somebody quickly. Paul says, I'm travailing in birth again a second time because I'm worried that Christ was not formed in you. Because if Christ was formed in you, there's no way you could ever say and deny that salvation is by faith and go back to where you are. Do you understand that? This is what he is writing about. This is his challenge here. So when you come to Galatians chapter 2, and you come to our theme verse in verse number 20, I want you to look at this and circle a word for me and write down some things. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I, what is that word? Now. The life in which I now live. Circle the word now. Underline the word now. Write down beside that word now these three words. Contrast. Conversion. Confidence. Contrast. Conversion. Confidence. That's what that word now suggests in the Apostle Paul's life. And this is what I want to preach to you as we move forward. The contrast and the conversion and the confidence of the life which I now live. And so Paul is offering his life now in contrast to what his life was before. Right? And he's offering it to the church at Galatia. So let me show you what his life was before. Go, if you would, please, to chapter number 1. Look at verse number 13. Stay with me. Don't lose me. For ye have heard of my conversation or my manner of life in time past in the Jews' what? Religion. Again, religion never saves anybody. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So here's what he's writing to these Christians that he's trusting are Christians that are being pulled back into Judaism and being pulled away from faith alone into the works. He's saying, I've already been there. I've already tried that. You know who I am. You know my name is Saul. You know I spent a lifetime in the Jews' religion. You know that I did everything a man could possibly do to stand before God one day and say, I deserve to be here, buddy. And he said, I profited, I exalted in that religion, and I wasted the church of God. I mean, I was as zealous as you could ever imagine. This is how I live my life. Verse number 15 of chapter number 1. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son, where class? In me. That I might preach who? Now Paul says, now I'm talking to you guys about the life that I now live. I'm offering this in defense of what these fools are telling you.
I'm trying to get you to understand that justification is by grace through faith and faith alone. It is not by works. I'm telling you, I tried to work my way to heaven and I was miserable and I was frustrated and I never even got close to being able to work my way to heaven. This is how I operated in the past. Let me show you my life now. Chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the, say it, faith of Jesus Christ. Even we, Jews, have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be what? Justified. Paul says, now, let me tell you about my life now. There was a time when I tried to justify myself by my good deeds. But I realized that no man can justify himself by the keeping of the law. So we believed in Jesus. Because it is only by the faith of Jesus Christ that we can be justified or declared righteous. Wow. Wow. Paul says, you're wanting to reinvent the wheel in the works that you've done, and Jesus has already finished the work. And we were introduced to his finished work. See, in order for you to go to heaven, the law has to be satisfied. Your law has to be satisfied. How many lawbreakers spiritually do I have in a room? You understand this? Okay. I'm guilty of sin. I'm guilty of transgressing the law. The penalty for my transgression is death. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? So here's how this plays out, people. Understand this. You miss it. I'm getting sick and tired of sitting in my office and asking people, if this is heaven and I'm God, why are you get to go in? And you tell me, because I've lived a good life. I can't take it no more. How do you sit there and listen to me preach? I can't take it. The only one to ever live a good life is Jesus. Perfect. Sinless. It's because of his perfect, sinless life. His evidence that he's God. So when he went to the cross and gave his life for me, he paid my debt. How do I think I could possibly improve on his payment? By living my life, right? I can't even get through the day right. He, as the sinless Son of God, paid the debt for the whole world. That's why salvation's by faith. That's why I just simply got to believe him. Him. You died for me. You were buried for me. You rose again for me. I'll never get there, but I'm going through you. By the way, that's a secure way to go, baby. Can you imagine how frustrated Paul was to hear this church thinking that they had to turn away from what Jesus did to somehow their own effort? No wonder he said, I'm worried about you. I got to calm down, breathing hard. I'm worried about us. I'm worried about us. How many of you are sitting out there? And if that's heaven and I'm God and I ask you why you get to go, you're going to tell me because you live a good life. Or some of your works. And then I'll say to them, no, it's not that. It's we get to go through Jesus. Oh, well, I believe in Jesus too. Perfect.
If I was to take this, and fill the rest of that with poison, would you drink it?
Nope.
You believe in Jesus that much, and you fill it with the poison of your trust in your works, you've poisoned the gospel. You've poisoned the gospel. It's only by faith. Our churches are filled with people who don't go by faith. What makes you think you're right? You Baptist. It's not the Baptist way. The Episcopalians don't have the way to God. The Baptists don't have the Baptist way to God. Catholics don't have a Catholic way to God. Presbyterians don't have a Presbyterian way to God. Muslim doesn't have a Muslim way. The only way of salvation is God's way. So here's what Paul said. I'm done. Come on. You love me. And somebody remember that. You love me. Come at you with chapter 1, verse number 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the, say the rest of the verse, revelation of. So Tom's not preaching you his gospel. I don't have a gospel. I'm not preaching you the gospel of Plantation Baptist. We don't have a gospel. The reason you can trust me is I'm preaching to you the gospel of Jesus from the word of Jesus. They didn't have a Bible back then. Paul shows up in Galatia. He didn't say, open your Bibles. He stood up there and he gave the revelation of Jesus, gave it to them. They had the Old Testament, they didn't have the New Testament, and he preached to them the truth. Paul said, when you received it so much, you loved me that you knew I had an eye problem. He said, you were willing to pluck out your own eyes and give them to me to help me. Now watch where he finds himself. Chapter 4, verse 16. And I promise, this is the last one. I promise. I double dog promise. Am I, therefore, become your what? Because I tell you the truth. Wow. So I'm asking you, as your pastor that loves you with all my heart, by faith, right? Alone. Well, I believe, Pastor, I have faith. Well, the Bible says that you evidence that faith by calling on the Lord. So there better be a time in your life where, with eyes open, eyes closed, driving or kneeling, somewhere in your life, you better have reckoned, I'm a sinner. I'm going to die and go to hell. Jesus is my Savior. He paid that debt. Lord Jesus, I believe in your work and in your person. And by faith, I call out to you for salvation. If you've never had that moment, my friend, you better find that moment. Can't mix it. It's by faith. I preached great. Beverly is not here. She's in Michigan. She went to a niece's wedding. Would somebody tell her I did a good job today? Stop it. I know what you're thinking. She should go away more often. I miss her. Let's pray.